Yes, I can confirm that we have had positive results for both lower and upper pit water and pipe clay lagoon. We have an initial negative result from Blackman Bay at Dunnelly, but we have two further tests pending there. And we have two negative results from Little Swan Point at this point in time. We have also three other traces where we are aware product from the infected area had been also shipped to Bruny Island, Dunnelly and Smithton within a time frame around the initial detection that has given us cause for concern. So it's still a nervous wait for those growers. And I can stress that even if we get an initial negative result from those areas, there will be a need for follow-up testing, you know, and more testing will be required before we could even think of saying that those areas are clear of POMs.
You're pulling together a lot of information, but what about mortalities? Are there mortalities beyond what we've been talking about?
Only in the affected areas. The areas we know there has been an infection. We're seeing increased mortalities in the other zone in lower pit water. There are actually two zones which are separated by kilometre or 2 kilometres of water. We're now seeing mortalities in the second zone, and mortalities are starting to be reported in upper pit water, is my understanding. I'm not quite sure as to the extent of those mortalities, and we are starting to see more mortalities in Pipe Clay Lagoon.
Is it a little hard to say what the industry really needs in the way of practical support?
Well, there are some things we do know, and we can learn from New South Wales in relation to this. The government there provided support to farmers to assist them to clean up their leases. Unfortunately, it will most likely be the case that not all growers will be able to come out of this disease event and be able to keep on operating. And there would be a need to clean up those leases, remove posts and equipment and things like that. So there will be assistance needed there. We'll need assistance in regards to how can we support the hatcheries going forward, because they're going to have to eventually start producing more spat. What do they need? A lot of the growers, particularly in the impacted areas, we know there's going to be cash flow issues. There will be high mortalities. We're not quite sure when those farms will be able to come back online. So I would assume, and a lot of the discussions I've had with growers to date, is that we will be going to the minister requesting for some relief in relation to payment of fees and other charges. But that's a discussion we will have to have with the government.
In terms of response from the broader aquaculture industry, is there anything else that can be done within Tasmania from other industries?
Oh, look, one thing I can say already, Sally, is we've been gratified by the response from the salmon industry. I've been contacted by their association, the Tasmanian Salmon Growers Association, and directly by TASHAL, who have offered what support they can to the oyster industry. The salmon industry has already suggested that the funding that we provide as a state and collectively amongst all the seafood industry in Tasmania to FRDC for research, that the public component of that at least be targeted towards addressing the key issues that are flowing out of this disease event, and other projects that were in the pipeline actually be put on hold. And look, we're extremely gratified that they've come forward and said that's something we should do. We will need to sit down with them and through the research prioritisation processes and see what we actually need to do. But it is really great to see the other sectors rallying behind the oyster industry.